Good afternoon. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, top of the hour here. I am your host, Katie Bosler, for today. Today we'll talk with Karen Fortwängler about Saturday's Helping Hands Dinner and Auction. Kayla Wyatt and Katie Lee from Art Matters will be here to highlight this week's First Friday, featuring the art of Herb Bonnet. We'll learn about this Saturday's World Youth Day Carnival with guest Ed Kinto, that Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more today on KTOO and KRNN between 3 and 5 o'clock. Coming right up here, national native news. Looks like it's positively balmy out there, about 75 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal rights are being brought up at the South Dakota Public Utility Commission's Keystone XL hearing now in its second week. The pipeline, if built, crosses the western half of South Dakota over territory set aside for the tribes of the Great Sioux Nation by the Treaty of Fort Laramie. As Victoria Wicks reports, attorneys are not in agreement on treaty rights.
Phyllis Young is a council member for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. She testifies about the nation-to-nation consultation that is a government obligation attached to the Fort Laramie treaties.
We still are contending that we are not subject to unilateral decisions, whether they're federal court or whether they are congressional acts, because we're subject to mutual respect and mutual participation.
TransCanada attorney William Taylor objects. The company contends that the tribal interest stops at reservation boundaries and the pipeline is not planned to cross reservation land.
But more than any testimony that she has given with respect to so-called treaty rights outside of the reservation, that is within the Greater Sioux Reservation, the 1868 treaty lands, the 1851 treaty lands, it's not relevant to any issue before the commission.
Taylor says any obligation is between the tribes and the U.S. government, not between tribes and TransCanada. And he refers to the purpose of this hearing to determine if TransCanada can still meet the 50 conditions the PUC imposed when granting the original permit in 2010. Standing Rock attorney Peter Capicella says one of the conditions is that KXL conform to all laws, but the objection is sustained. Young says no one from either TransCanada or the Department of State consulted the tribe. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks.
Alaska law enforcement must carry out tribal protection orders the same as it does state protective orders, regardless of whether the order has been registered with the state's attorney general announced in an opinion last week. For some in the Native community, the opinion suggests tribal-state relations under Governor Bill Walker's administration are improving since the previous administration. KTOO's Jennifer Canfield has more.
Attorney General Craig Richards says the Violence Against Women Act clearly supersedes Alaska's conflicting law requiring registration of tribal court and so-called foreign protection orders. The opinion basically affirms VAWA's provision that tribal court and out-of-state protective orders need not be registered with the state in order to be enforced, a provision with which the Parnell administration refused to comply.
Well, I'm very excited to see this. I think it's a step in the right direction in rural tribal justice.
That's President of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Tribes of Alaska, Richard Peterson.
It's going to really, I think, have great impact and effect on our tribal court system.
Peterson says Tlingit and Haida is looking forward to more positive action from the Walker administration on tribal issues such as land into trust and transboundary mining. Nick Gaska, Associate Counsel for the Tanana Chiefs Conference based in Fairbanks, also says that the opinion is an indication of the thawing relationship between the state and Alaska tribes.
This, again, no doubt reflects his position that instead of fighting tribes at every case, that he's moving forward to correct the department's previous positions and reconcile relationships with tribes.
The opinion also makes clear that officers can enforce orders that are clearly intended to be protective orders, even if they are not explicitly labeled as such. For National Native News, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
The Native American Voting Rights Act was introduced last week by a group of U.S. senators to address voting access. The bill requires states to establish polling locations on reservations and mail absentee ballots to homes upon request from tribes, and states would have to recognize tribal IDs. The bill expands provisions under the Voting Rights Act. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. This is Katie Bosler for this Tuesday, August 4th. And joining me on the program, first up today, is Karen Fortwängler. She is here to talk about this coming Saturday's Helping Hands annual dinner and auction. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you very much, Katie. Appreciate it.
So tell me about this Saturday's auction. What do you have planned?
Well, this Saturday, August 8th, and I need to remind people that it's actually a lot earlier than we normally do it every year. But we got some of our people that won't be able to help us, so we had to boost it up a couple weeks, so I don't want people to get mistaken. But it is this Saturday. We have a great dinner, like always, planned that starts at 5 o'clock. It's buffet style, so it's all you can eat. And we have auction, live and silent auction. Some of our supporters this year, Core Alaska Kensington Mine. We got some great stuff from them. Alaska Seaplanes. We got two trips that we're putting together, one for Haines and one for Skagway. We've got the train up in Skagway for a trip to go with the seaplanes thing. And we've got pictures and jewelry like we always have. And the actually live auction starts at 6, but the silent auction will go on at the start of dinner until a little bit after the live auction starts.
Okay, and where is this located?
It's going to be on the Back Loop Road at Valley Chapel. That's where we usually do it every year. There will be balloons donated from Balloons by Night Moves that will mark the driveway. But the drive is right across from the Montana Creek Road, I think it's called.
And what annual is this, do you know?
Oh, my goodness. You would ask. You know, I'm not sure. I think we've been doing it for at least 5 or 6 years, if not more. I moved away from Juneau when my family first moved up here, and we had this going then, and I don't remember. So next year, I'll have that answer for you.
Okay. Let's dial back here and tell me about Helping Hands. This is something that your mother started.
Yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, my mother started this in 83 when we first moved up here, when she found a need that she saw somebody that was homeless digging through dumpsters. So she took it upon herself and contacted stores about the need of, you know, picking up their food that was just expired, but they couldn't sell it anymore, to donate it to her, and she would give it out to the public people in the community that would need it. Started out in her little garage out on Forest Lane, and we've been growing up to our nowadays warehouse at Schweitzer Creek Rec Hall. But in the late 90s, I believe it was, we actually became a nonprofit with all the paperwork we had to do with the IRS, the state, and United Way and everything. So that's when it officially became Helping Hands. But my mom had been doing it years before that, just of the kindness of her heart and just doing it because there was a need.
It's out of your house?
Out of the garage.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And then we moved up to different kind of storage units, but now we're in the warehouse at Schweitzer Creek.
And tell me how this works. The warehouse is open 2 days a week.
Right. We're open 2 days a week, Tuesday, Friday, from 5:30 to 7:00. Basically, if a person out there or family has a need, they come to our door, we let them in, we don't ask questions, we don't interrogate them or anything. They come to the door, they show up, we know that they have a need, we let them in. And, you know, sometimes we've got to limit things because we've had, you know, anywhere from 100 people in the door, but that turns out to be 200 people and families that we're helping each day our doors open. And so we don't get quite the donations we need to give everybody everything they want. So we kind of divide and split it up and everything. And usually everybody's really good about taking what they can get. And then I invite them to always come back. They can come back and see us twice a week. You know, we don't have any problems with that.
Now, is there a pipeline at this point with the grocery stores in Juneau to just, like, if something expires, they're just going to send it your way? Or how does that work?
Yeah, we pick up from the grocery stores here in Juneau 4 days a week. And we have certain stores that we pick up and certain days that we can pick up. Because, obviously, we're not the only food place picking up, but you know, we do have our times that we go, and we respect the other times that other people have. So when it is our time to pick up, then we pick up. So the stores have us on a schedule when we can pick up there.
And tell me about the need. Have you observed a fluctuation in that, an increase?
I think lately there's been a big increase. Some of the time of the month depends on when people get food stamps or their checks. You know, we used to see a decrease. We're not seeing that so much right now. So I think in Juneau it has become a major factor that, you know, people are finding it hard to pay the bills that they need to pay and provide food for their families, you know. But that's why we're out there, and that's why this fundraiser is so important to us, is because we get no additional funding. Everything that keeps our rent paid, our electricity going, for our coolers, for our freezers, we are all volunteers. Nobody in our organization gets paid for anything we do. Wear and tear on our vehicles, we all take care of that ourselves. But we do fundraisers to keep ourselves around. And we have successfully done it for many, many years now. And it's been helpful. So that's why we really stress this fundraiser. This is one of our biggest things. And right now, I know businesses are having a hard time, but we're still in need of auction items for this fundraiser, too. And it's Saturday. We're getting a little nervous, but we normally do anyway. But, you know, we really want to make this successful because we have rent to pay and electricity, and we don't get major funding.
So if people, if businesses or individuals want to donate for this live and silent auction, what do they do?
They can call. I'll give them two numbers. They can call the Helping Hands number, and it has a voicemail on it. At 789-4390, and that gets to the director, Betty, which is my mom, of course. And then I have my cell phone if they'd like to reach me on there, which is 957-6632. And tickets for this fundraiser are only $10. We have some that we're selling beforehand, but they will also be at the door, too. And like I said, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet-style dinner, and my mom is an excellent cook. So
she does all the cooking. Oh, my gosh.
She gets help here and there.
Well, no wonder she was a woman of distinction for 2015.
Yeah.
Betty, your mom. Wow.
She gets, like I said, she gets help here and there, but she does the majority of it.
And so, again, remind us of where the fundraiser is taking place.
It is taking place at Valley Chapel this Saturday. Dinner starts at 5, the live auction starts at 6 o'clock. So we just hope to have a very good turnout because this keeps us, you know, like I said, open.
So Valley Chapel is in the valley on the Loop Road?
Back Loop Road.
Back Loop Road, okay.
Right across from Montana Creek Road. And I'm having balloons donated, like I said, Balloons by Night Moves, to mark the driveways. So
Okay. All right. Well, Karen, is there anything you'd like to add about this Saturday's fundraiser for Helping Hands at Valley Chapel?
Come out, support us, because, you know, we really need the support, and we really need this fundraiser to go well so that we can make it through the winter months and continue to keep our doors open for people.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in and for all the good work you do in our community.
Thank you for having me.
And next up will be Kayla Wyatt and Katie Lee from Art Matters about the Art of Herb Bonnet's First Friday event. But first, Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 4th of August, 2015. 1830, on this date, the plans for the city of Chicago were first laid out. There was a commission was appointed to make plans for a canal to connect the Chicago, the Des Plaines rivers, lay out some surrounding streets. The surveyor James Thompson drew up the first map covering just about 3/8 of a square mile. The city had a population of fewer than 100 people at the time, but it was the first official recognition of the municipality of Chicago, which thrived, of course. 1848, the canal opened up a waterway from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi. First rail line came through the same year. Mail order retailers sprang up, Montgomery Ward, Sears, Roebuck, huge feedlots and slaughterhouses, and the city was on its way. It's the birthday of Louis Armstrong, 1901, in New Orleans, in a very poor neighborhood called Storyville. He sang for pennies on the streets of the city. He would scoop up the coins, stuff them in his mouth so the bigger boys couldn't steal them, and they gave him the nickname Satchel Mouth, later shortened to Satchmo. He worked for a family of Russian Jews, the Karnofskys. They were delivering coal to apartments and rooms. They were very kind to him. They helped him buy a tin trumpet. And because of the Karnofskys, Louis Armstrong wore a Star of David pendant for the rest of his life. As a teenager, he played dances and funerals and played on the riverboats. He got to play with Bix Beiderbecke and Sidney Bechet, King Oliver, who took him to Chicago in 1924, whereupon Louis Armstrong formed his own band, the Hot Five, made more than 60 records between 1925 and 1928, which influenced everybody who followed after him. It's the birthday of Percy Bysshe Shelley, born in Sussex, England, 1792. Grew up in a wealthy family, went off to Oxford. They kicked him out of school for writing risque poetry and for being an atheist, and his family cut him off financially at the age of 19. He eloped to Scotland with a 16-year-old bride. He abandoned her in favor of Mary Godwin, and they went off to Europe. When he had some very productive years, he wrote Adonis, an elegy for John Keats, and Prometheus Unbound, a drama in verse. Died before he was 30, trying to sail along the coast of Spain. It's the birthday of the poet Robert Hayden, born in Detroit, 1913, went to work for the Federal Writers Project, studying black history and folk culture, became the first African-American to become poet laureate. And it's the birthday of Barack Obama, the author and 44th president, born in Honolulu in 1961. Here's a poem for today by Tom Hennen, Clouds Rise Like Fish. During July, on the prairie, the pine tree stands alone on the main street of a disintegrating country town. Its needles pump all day, still it cannot turn all the passing carbon monoxide into anything useful. On its trunk, ants are stuck in the rosin. From its top, we can see the dark clouds in the blue sky. The island in the lake drifts even farther from shore. Heat increases. The afternoon begins its insect hum. We can tell a storm is coming by looking into each other's eyes. poem by Tom Hennen, Clouds Rise Like Fish, From Darkness Sticks to Everything, published by Copper Canyon Press. Used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with its APRON project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Thank you, Garrison, for our Daily Dose. This is Katie Bosler here filling in for Scott Burton for one last Tuesday on a Juno afternoon this summer. And with me in the studio are Kayla Wyatt and Katie Lee from Art Matters, the frame shop out in the valley, now also going to become a gallery and celebrating that with a First Friday event this Friday, 5:30 to 7:30. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Kayla, you're the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Owner of this.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Art Matters and how long you've been in business.
Art Matters has actually been out there for over 15 years, and my husband Jay and I just bought it a couple years ago, and my primary worker is my daughter Willow, and we're gearing up for this great, exciting show on Friday. And we're also excited about having tons of Alaska art out there. Originals, prints, they are busting out of our seams out there. Mm. And it's really going to be a fun show with Herb Barnett being the featured artist.
Oh, my gosh. So Herb Barnett is just sort of an iconic artist here in Southeast Alaska. I know we have a print of one of his float planes with the sunset. You have, it sounds like, several examples of his art?
Oh, yes. There's going to be a lot of prints out there, and we even have some canvas prints of his. Most of them are the fishing boat series, a lot of old cove series, and some of the prints we have out there are really rare, hard to find. So we're very excited about showing those, and a lot of the art we have out there is consignment Alaska art. So we are selling pictures for people. So a lot of them do not belong to Art Matters, but we're going to try to sell them for the customers.
And you have some other artists' works as well.
Yes, we carry over 25 Alaska artists, and they range anywhere from Herb Barnett, of course, to David Riccio, Ed Mills, Dick Zagers, Dale Diarmond, Ree Munoz, James Belcher, Terry Piles, Kenny Knapp, some canvas posters of Sidney Lawrence, Fred Mocketon, and Skip Wallen, and these are just a few of some of the artists we carry.
That's quite a lineup. So Katie, you're part of the PR operation here.
A little bit, yeah. I admin and run the Facebook page. So, and that's great. It's Art Matters Juno, if you Google it, and it'll be one of the first things that pops up. It's great. That's where we post monthly specials also.
So you can like the Facebook page, and then it's right in your news feed there.
Correct.
What's happening with Art Matters. Oh, my gosh. So have you been collecting this art for a while in preparation for becoming, as well as a framing shop, a gallery?
Well, we've actually had them on the wall for quite a while, several months to a year. And we're just not on the main path, like downtown, so we're trying to get the word out that we're out there. We have art for sale. And we don't have any tourists come through, so we're hoping to gather more people to see this beautiful art.
Mm.
Yeah. And Katie here does some appraisal and research on items, too, which is very interesting.
Okay, so that's how you set the prices?
Some of them, yeah.
On some of them, Kayla just knows she's very knowledgeable about art. But there's other things that come in. We had a photograph come in a couple weeks ago. And the gentleman was talking about maybe throwing it away. He didn't know what to do. And so we did some research on that one, and it was extremely rare, worth quite a bit of money. So things like that that are...
You have me intrigued.
Yeah. It was a beautiful photo. So it did not go in the trash.
Was this a vintage photo? Or
I believe from 1910, 1915, if I remember correctly.
Now, is this something that's being framed and will be part of the...
No, this was something that was actually the customer took it back home. He just needed to know a value.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Right.
But
right.
But there are some interesting pieces out there that are customer consignment items that mm-hmm. Katie has researched, and it's very interesting to find out the value of some of these. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, at this First Friday event on this coming Friday, very soon, is it kind of a reception type thing? Or
yes, we'll have a couple hors d'oeuvres and some beverages there, and it's just mainly starting a little later, of course, than the downtown ones, just because we need to start at 5:30 instead of 4:30.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that way, well, people could also theoretically get started downtown and come out to the valley, or
exactly,
or
yeah.
even vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because some of us don't, you know, it's hard to get off work, you know, before mm-hmm. that time anyway. So, so Herb Barnett, will he be there?
Yes, we're hoping. He said he was going to come. So I can't guarantee it 100%, but he does want to show up, and so he should be there for people to talk to, and we're hoping. Just like I say, I can't completely guarantee if he'll be there, but he did say as of yesterday that he was going to try to make it.
Do you have any idea how many of his works you have in stock?
I probably have about a dozen that are going to, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to frame those this week so we can get them on easels for
people. Oh my gosh, you probably just sort of took a little break from framing to come over here, right?
Exactly.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow, and then it's quite a lineup of the other Southeast Alaskan or an Alaskan artist that you have.
Oh yeah, there's and then some of those are from up north to some of the major artists. So, but we mm-hmm. do have a lot of images that are just shrink wrapped and not framed because we have a kind of a small gallery. So, but we have been doing custom mm-hmm. framing for a very long time. I got 26 years in it, and so if you find something you like in the flip bin, we can get it framed really nice for you.
A lot of affordable, very affordable stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and then many originals?
There are some originals out there for that are just amazing. And then we also carry Wayne Owen's, it's a beautiful, huge raven on wood, and that's more of a three-dimensional item that's on the wall.
Mm.
Yeah.
So tell us where you're located.
We are on Old Dairy Road, 8375, and so we're right by Valley Paint there, and in the same building, of course, is Perseverance Glass. And so it's some people have a hard time finding it, but it's just right on Old Dairy Road, and just if you've gone to urgent care, you've gone too far.
Okay, right off Egan there.
Right off Egan, yeah, down from Valley Lumber.
Okay, well, Katie and Kayla, is there anything you'd like to add about Art Matters or this Friday's First Friday event?
Nope, I think that does it for me.
Yeah, just excited and hope we have a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, we are very excited. So it's our first time, so we hope to do it again.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'll have a wonderful opening of your Art Matters gallery, 5:30 to 7:30,
yes,
this coming Friday.
Great.
Old Dairy Road.
See you there.
Okay. Here's some Pink Martini. Shine a glimmering light and hover above.
shine like the star and be forever floating above. I know a falling star can't fall forever, but let's never stop falling in love. No, let's never stop falling in love.
Pink Martini, yes, Let's Never Stop Falling in Love. That is from our CD featuring the Little Tomato. You know, that's kind of one of their best known. They'll be in concert Sunday, September 20th at Centennial Hall. If you want to get tickets, you can go to jahc.org. They are that eclectic Portland ensemble, Pink Martini. Amazing that they're going to be here, featuring the singer Storm Large. What a name. And that's a benefit for the upcoming 30th annual Juno Jazz and Classics Festival, which is happening May 6th to 21st, 2016. And speaking of 2016, that is also the World Youth Day, a worldwide opportunity to interact or meet the Pope, or be addressed by the Pope, at least. And it happens every 3 years. The next one is in Krakow, Poland, next summer in 2016. And the gentlemen in the studio with me are here to tell us about a fundraiser for people from Juno who would like to attend that. We have Garrett. Your last name again, Garrett, is?
Nitschke.
Nitschke,
a bit of a
name pull
there.
Yes, yes. And Ed Quinto. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for letting us come in and talk about World Youth Day and our fundraiser that we'll be doing this Saturday.
Yeah, so tell me, well, tell me about World Youth Day. Why do you want to go?
We have kids that'll be going from Juno, along with Southeast Alaska and Anchorage and Fairbanks. We'll be going there. Garrett, tell her how many kids will be going from Juno.
From Juno, we'll have about 22. Alaska has 150 slots that we'll be attending.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's the kids. And there'll be a few adults that will be paying their own way. But the kids that we have in Juno is all of the Catholic Church, the one downtown in St. Paul's Catholic Church. The World Youth Day is...
That's huge. So that's Juno delegation of 150?
Alaska delegation.
Alaska,
yeah.
Okay.
Our Juno delegation will be a little over 20.
Got it.
20
okay.
kids.
Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Over 20
yeah.
kids.
Right.
It's pretty, my son is going with them. They're all trying to raise funds to go pay for the airfare and the food, not the spending money, but they're all trying to raise funds to go to Poland. They also have a side trip going to Ireland, correct?
Yep. Well, we'll be leaving in late July, and we'll spend about a week in Ireland, and then we'll fly to Krakow.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lucky you. Yeah.
One of my two favorite countries.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, I think they're going to meet over, 5 million people there? It's going to be a big gathering.
It'll be a lot. The last time when we were in Rio de Janeiro, there was about 3 million. But this World Youth Day is not only to celebrate Pope John Paul, who started World Youth Day, but... it's also right in the middle of Europe, in Poland, where he was from. And since the European Union doesn't have borders, there are going to be estimated 5 million or more.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So now this is... Okay. So it was initiated by Pope John Paul.
Yes.
But, of course, the current Pope
will be... It's his place, so
yes.
We get to visit his place. So it's going to be a great event for all our kids. We've had kids gone there before from Juno, but we have a lot of new kids going this year, and with adults, of course.
Right, and so Pope Francis, of course, will be the Pope there. But
yeah.
Yes,
he'll be
the main attraction.
Got it. Yeah. So, Garrett, well, tell us about what it was like to be at the last one in Rio de Janeiro in 2013.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to make it. Just missed that cutoff. But we had a few people.
What's the age group?
The age group is basically 16 to about 21 is Youth Day. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, we can't take any other younger kids because of, you know, logistics and things like that. So we figure we can handle 16 to 21-year-olds. Okay. A little bit more, we can handle them a little bit better.
Well,
so.
What a life experience to experience. So it says here during the whole week, and there's a cultural agenda, events with the Pope. Are there any that you're looking forward to in particular?
Not having gone before, you don't know what to expect. But I do know each country has their masses, and each country has special workshops that are done.
Yes.
And there are bishops from across the world who are coming in especially to do workshops for the youth.
Yeah. I believe, I don't know if our bishop's going.
He is going.
Oh, he is. Okay. I know our priests from St. Paul's will be going there with our group, but Bishop Burns will be going there. And along with the masses and talking and things like that, they'll also have, it's a fun event for the kids, too. They're going to have concerts, you know, a lot of music going on.
Wow.
The kids will be able to interact with other kids. There'll be a lot of trading of pins and souvenirs.
Mm-hmm.
They get to talk to each other. So there'll be a lot of cultural mixing of kids over there. So it's going to be a great event for them.
Well, I would think it'd be fun to be part of the Alaska delegation. You know, people are always curious about Alaska.
Oh, yes,
Alaska.
They'll probably go, well, how's your igloo?
Right. Polar bear to school?
Yeah, it's great. We take a dog sled there every day.
Right. That's always an opportunity to educate about Southeast Alaska.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully they'll they'll bring pictures and go, this is a regular house. This is what we live in, not igloo. So.
So Krakow, Poland, gosh, so I imagine it'll be in some kind of large stadium.
Actually, it's going to be mostly outside. They'll have indoor things.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're going, the climate is basically kind of like Juneau, except it rains less,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have bears running around. So the weather is around 65 to 70 degrees. Rains every few days, so it's pretty comfortable there. They do a lot of outside things. Like I said, they'll have the concerts and group gatherings outside. They'll be doing a lot of walking since a lot of that area will be closed off because there's going to be 5 million people walking around in that city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the transportation will be pretty restricted to walking.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there'll be a lot of events that will keep them, they'll be keeping all the kids busy all throughout the day. There'll be a lot of the things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, Pope Francis seems like a pretty innovative and creative pope who is really kind of pretty outspoken about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a really interesting opportunity as a youth to, you know, to just hear him address you, I mean, in person to you and the other thousands of people who are there. But what an incredible opportunity.
Very nice. Yeah, I think we did have a pope come in Alaska, but unfortunately he didn't come to Juneau. So he went to Anchorage. So we missed the last pope that came by.
Yeah.
So unfortunately. But
well, there's nothing like that that feeling of being part of a mass of people. I actually was fortunate to be at a mass at St. Peter's in Rome years ago on Easter Sunday.
Wow, that was
and it was quite an experience, yeah. So you've got a fundraiser coming up.
Yes, we do.
Tell us about a little bit more about that.
So this Saturday at St. Paul's Catholic Church, located on Atlin Drive, which is across from Super Bear, starting this Saturday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we're going to have a carnival. We'll have things for kids to do, face painting. Some games. We'll even have food there. We'll have, you know, hot dogs, cotton candy, nachos, correct?
Yep, we'll have nachos.
We'll have a bouncy house there. We'll have a lot of things for the kids to enjoy. Bring the kids over and come help us raise funds. We also have tickets, so you can buy the tickets. You can pre-buy the tickets right now. Get hold of anybody from St. Paul's Catholic Church or stop by at our church and we can get you the tickets for the event. But Gary can tell you a little bit more about the cost and everything and awards.
The nice thing about this is the tickets are 25 cents a piece. So it's easy and you can give your kid a pocket full of quarters and he can go off for the afternoon and have fun. Now, if you pre-buy the tickets for every 5 that you buy will give you 3 free tickets, and that will eventually amount to a lot. And how things will work is you'll spend tickets at a game, and then if you win the game, you get a golden ticket, and you take golden tickets back to the prize, and then you redeem your golden tickets for prizes. So.
Well, it sounds like a good way to entertain the kids on a Saturday.
It's a perfect opportunity for kids to show up, so they'll have fun.
Now, is this one of many, I imagine, fundraisers?
Yes, we've done some car washes, we've done hot dog sales. These kids have to raise a little bit over $5,200 each. So there's a lot of fundraising with 20-plus kids going. So,
yes. Yeah,
we're doing – this is not the only one we'll be doing. So we'll be – you know, if anybody sees our poster, big banner that says World Youth Day, then that's what it's for. We're there to raise funds for the kids to go to Poland. So.
And departing just a little less than a year from now.
Yes.
Yes, and the end of July next year.
Okay, and how are you doing on your $5,200 so far?
Actually, I'm a little over 2,000.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're halfway there.
They will go. It's just we just got to make sure everybody, the public comes out and supports us and gets these fundraising done, and we'll get these money to the kids. My son, who's going, he's basically reached his goal already, pretty darn close. So he's excited about going too. So. But we're real busy. We're excited to do this carnival. Everybody is invited, of course, you know, and, you know, we're going to have a fun time. Bring your kids.
Okay, so 10 to 4 p.m. this Saturday, St. Paul's Church.
On Atland Drive, 9055 Atland Drive, across from Super Bear.
Okay.
We have lots of parking.
All right, and you can get tickets in advance at St. Paul's.
Yes, Catholic Church.
Or just show up.
Yes.
Okay, well, Ed Kento and Garrett
Nitschke. Yeah, I know.
Did I say your name right?
Yes, close enough. It's close enough.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, and all the best to you raising your funds there, Garrett. And Ed is going to be a chaperone there for World Youth Day just about a year from now in Krakow, Poland. How exciting.
Thanks.
And thank you.
Thank you. Here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. In late summer, a young bald eagle leaves the nest and sets out on its own for the first time. It's the culmination of nearly a year's work by the parents. Let's recap how it might have gone. Male and female meet up in late fall, build a nest or add sticks to their old one over the winter, and by March, usually have 2 eggs. The female incubates for a month and a bit, with the male taking an occasional turn. The result? A couple of tiny, 3-ounce chicks. The adults then take to hunting fish and other prey, tearing it into bite-sized chunks for the growing youngsters, which gain a pound in weight every 4 or 5 days. At 8 weeks, they're all brown and as heavy as the adults, 10 to 14 pounds. 2 weeks later, they make their first short, clumsy flights. But it'll take another 10 weeks of practice flights and provisioning by the adults before the young birds are ready to strike out on their own. And when they do, they strike out in grand fashion, wandering over the continent for perhaps thousands of miles until 4 years after hatching they have their full adult plumage. Only then might they seek a mate and build their own nest. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Thank you.
is just the incredible Zuel Bailey, cello player, here on a Juno Afternoon with your hostess today, Katie Bosler. And it looks like he will be participating in something called Three Men and a Baby Grand. That's a Labor Day concert, and that is happening with also with pianist Oddwadigan Pratt and Australian violinist Benjamin Breen. They'll perform Bach, Paganini, and Brahms in a program designed to showcase their formidable individual and combined artistry. So that is happening on September 6th at 7 o'clock. Benefit for Juno Jazz and Classics 30th Annual Festival next May. So if you want to get your tickets, I'm sure you can go to jahc.org. Just click on Get Your Tickets, and it's all there. And with me in the studio is M.K. McNaughton, our local artist, one of many local artists, who just happened to kind of traipse on down here and has a lot to tell us about what's happening at her studio. And she's having a drop-in on First Friday.
I am. Kind of an impulsive First Friday opening.
Fantastic. Yeah. So tell us about what you have planned for this impulsive event.
Well, it's casual. It's not usually I only open up studio when I have a new body of work. And I have shows scheduled at Annie Kales in October and at Copa in November. So I'm making art for those shows. But I like every show to be unique mm-hmm. and new work. And if people want to see work in progress, they can just come and hang out. I'll have snacks and drinks. I do have, I've just been painting kind of randomly over the summer. Mm-hmm. So I have paintings around and available to buy if people are looking for pieces. I just finished a large commission piece, and that's a fun process if anyone wants to talk about that. I'm going to deliver it on Saturday, so it will still be in the studio on Friday.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
I've had a couple of requests for commissions, and I feel a little shy about them because I want people to, when people buy a painting, I know they like it. And if they ask me to paint it, I don't know if I can live up to their expectations. So what I don't really take commissions, I take assignments. And if, in this case, a couple is building a new house with this beautiful water view, and they have a big wall. They wanted a large painting. They gave, so I went out and looked at the site and looked at the wall and heard all these abstract ideas they had, and then spent some time trying to come up with a concept that would meet their requests and painted it. And the one of them came by and looked at it and liked it and arranged for me to deliver it. So it's a fun process, and I'm getting a little bit more confident. I could almost say I take commissions.
So this is a rather large piece.
It's 3 foot by 5 feet, 5 feet wide, 3 feet high.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, which is fun. I love to paint large. But I've also been painting tiny paintings that are 3 by 3 inch on little tiny easels, and I have a series of birds and flowers, and then birds, flowers, and spell for a while, and I'm starting some new...
Summertime?
Yeah, summertime. Birds have such little personalities, and flowers I was longing for in the spring, so it's been a great year for getting flower imagery.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And they're still blooming.
They are.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of, I always plant my nasturtiums too late, but they're starting to bloom finally. So, gosh, and I like the idea of just dropping by and seeing some works in progress.
It's fun. I like peeking at other people's work, visiting artists, and my studio is not always open. It's kind of off the beaten path. I like to really focus, but once in a while, it's really nice to open up the studio and have people just drop in and visit and ask questions or give me ideas. People have great feedback when I'm struggling and friends stop by. I can't figure out what's wrong with a portrait, and someone will say, you know, that eye is a little too high, and I've looked at it for so long that I don't see it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So it's sort of a neighborhood collaborative process.
It is, yeah. And often the people who don't think they know anything about art have the best suggestions because they're just answering kind of honestly from the heart. And I'm working on the grit series. I'm doing a portrait a week for the whole year and hanging them at the Jack. And I do need more subjects, so I can take referrals for subjects. I'm trying to find people who work in a variety of different fields, mostly in the elements, outdoors, people who work really hard jobs behind the scenes, the people that contribute to making Juno a great place to live.
That sounds like a great project.
Yeah, so I'll take referrals if people have suggestions.
So tell us where your studio is located if people want to drop by this first Friday.
It's on the corner of Front and Main, which I love to say. It sounds very grand. And then the next direction is look for the propane tanks in the back of the corner lot behind Kenny's Wok and Teriyaki on Front and Main. There are propane tanks in the back corner of the parking lot, and there's a door that you would think was Kenny's kitchen, but it's my studio right next to Kenny's kitchen.
And this is 4 to 7.
4 to 7 on Friday.
Yeah. And you have a nice, I've been to MK Studios, it's lovely. It has a nice skylight, so you have some nice light in there.
Beautiful skylight.
And now you have some classes ongoing and upcoming?
Yep, in the fall I'm going to teach again, and that's kind of my main teaching season. So in October I have a kids' multimedia class. There are a couple spots left in that. I have an adult oil painting class. Teens are welcome in my adult classes. And I also have a drawing class on Sundays that is split right now between the people that are signed up are kind of older and 11 years old. So it's a great mix of some of each. So I love multi-age classes. Mm-hmm. And what's really fun is to find out who's interested, who appears, and then I kind of cater the class to who is in it. And one of my classes right now, one class is full. It's all siblings. It's all sibling pairs. And in my last oil painting class,
that was just serendipitous?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And in my oil painting class in the spring, I had all parent-child combos with high school kids and adults, and also a mother and her mother were in the class. So, you know, an older adult child team.
It
was really fun.
That's fascinating, though, that there wasn't like a call out for we're having a parent sibling class.
I haven't put a call out for 11 and 65 year old combo, but that's developing in drawing. And I'm going to experiment with Sunday from 4 to 6. And the drawing classes, all my classes, the goal is to have fun and to try new mediums and to push ourselves to be better artists. And I don't claim to be an expert at anything, but I'm practicing all this stuff myself. And I took a class this summer from a woman from Philadelphia, a studio called Studio Incominati, and her work is gorgeous, portrait painting. So I learned some color study techniques from her, and that's what I'm gonna practice and teach in the fall classes.
Well, there's nothing like learning along with your students, right? You always learn more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gosh, we have so much going on, MK, and I'm a big fan. That's my disclaimer.
Thank you, Katie.
Is there anything you'd like to add about the event, just the kind of drop-in this Friday or the classes? How do people contact you if they're interested in
people
taking classes?
People can email or call me, and my contact info is on my website. That's probably the easiest. Instead of giving all that information, it's mkmacnaughton.com.
And it's M-A-C.
M-A-C, Mac.
Macnaughton.
Mm-hmm. mkmacnaughton.com. So if you look at my website, you'll find my phone number and my email, and you can contact me that way. I don't have my physical address listed on the website because I don't have regular hours. I kind of juggle my kids and family and studio work. So I'm not always there, but you can contact me and I can always set up a time to meet if you want to talk about a commission assignment or a class.
Okay. And if you want to just guarantee meet you, stop by this Friday.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Right behind Kenny's there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Here's Martha Redbone.
dreamed it with a shade over my angel guarded bed, that an air had lost its way where on grass me thought I'd lay. Trouble bewildered and forlorn, dark benighted, travel worn, over many a tangled spray, all heartbroke I heard her say. Oh, my children, do they cry? Do they hear their father sigh? Now they look abroad to see, now return and weep for me. Dropped a tear, but I saw a glower near, who replied, what wailing white calls the watchman of the night. I answered to light the ground while the beetle goes his round. Follow now the beetle's hum, little wanderer, hie home. Oh, my children, do they cry? Do they hear them?
This is Martha Redbone. Roots is the CD. The tune is A Dream, and she will be performing at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council on the 30th of September at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening, everybody, to A Juno Afternoon today, Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. This is Katie Bosler. It's been nice filling in for Scott Burton a bit this summer. I believe he should be back next week. It is the top of the hour.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
The word epidemic to me is something that you can